I like alternative music. And we all looked at him and laughed because we were like, ha, what a dweeb.
Look at this weirdo. He doesn't like rap or rock.
He doesn't like rap or oldies on, you know, Cola 99.9.
Hey, everybody. Let's go over here, turn on 96.7 KCAL Rocks, and listen to Metallica
for the
seventh time today.
Listen to the latest Jimi Hendrix hit, Purple Haze, up in my brain.
Man, this new artist, Jimi Hendrix, I wonder what he's up to nowadays.
Me too. And Led Zeppelin?
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing in 1992?
That band's going somewhere. Mark my words.
They have something, an it factor, I think.
Not just falling from the sky. Oh, the humanity.
Falling out of a boy?
What?
We talked so much about Fall Out Boy last week.
Oh, that's right.
I'm just saying, I know this is the community's list.
This is your list, folks.
But
welcome
think,
to, hold on, 0, 2, 4, 4? Are we on 4 now?
You're the one with the file
welcome
folders.
To this week's episode of The Skinny with Mike and Adam.
There you go.
We're inching ever closer to episode 0250. I forgot to mention this, I think, in the last two episodes, but we did get a fan question.
Is that called tribbing, by the way?
Tribbing.
When you inch closer and closer, but you don't get it, you don't finish until you're ready?
I think that's called, shit, that's not trimming.
Tribbing.
Tribbing?
Trebecking?
Trebecking. No, that's, fuck. It's going to come to me. I'm sorry.
Damn it. They were talking about it on a Dead Bedouins podcast.
Literally, it's going to come to me.
Oh, yeah. Three years ago. The importance of not finishing.
Yes.
So maybe we should just stop altogether at episode 249.
Oh,
without a payoff.
Blue ball. but I sent it to you guys several weeks ago that for episode 250, we wanted to do something cool and do like a fan question special. Because we have literally exhausted all other options. I'm just kidding.
There's more albums coming out this year.
There is. And we're going to be reviewing another album for you guys next week. Really cool one. But for episode 250, which is coming up in a few short weeks, we were wondering if you guys wanted to send us some questions. You can either email them to us at theskinnywithmikeandadam@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theskinnywithmikeandadam, and you can send us some questions, some comments, anything you want to know, music or not music related. And Adam even said he might go as far as to share his social security number.
Maybe.
On the air.
I might. I just might, because I have such little hope that anybody's actually listening to
this
show.
Adam is not a fan, but I am a fan of the show. I'm a fan of you guys. We actually did get a few questions in already.
Yes, and the answer to those questions can be found in episodes 1 through 5.
Not everyone's listened to all 240 whatever episodes this is, Adam.
If you want to listen to some terrible podcasting, go back to episodes 1 through 5.
I concur with that.
Some terrible skinny
back in the day.
What the hell?
Well, we finally caught our stride at episode 30 or so.
Two lesbians were murdered this week. What do you think about that, Mike?
Anyway, Silverstein.
What were we thinking? I can't even listen to myself because I hate that version of myself from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a child, so my life hadn't been flipped over on its anus. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there just talking about how much I watch Conan and Jimmy Fallon. like that's important.
Little known fact, Adam told me that he and his wife were expecting on the show.
I did.
That was a live reaction. I cried.
October? Of something 2012, like I believe it was.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes, when we were further along.
That was fun. But we'd love to get, if you want to know anything about us, want to know anything about anything,
ooh,
if you want
the universe.
The universe, we can explain those things. We're qualified.
I told you that it was the day that something about a new iPhone was coming out. In 2012.
I believe so.
And Mike's whole sound off was about how the new you know, iPhone, what, 4 or 5, was just a fucking phone. He yells it in that episode.
I'm an iPhone 5S user.
Still to this day.
To this day, yes. It's a good phone. It's lasted me this long. Anyway, yes. but if you guys would like that, we'd like to make that a great episode. So the more questions we get, the better that episode's going to be. So please do that. We'd appreciate that.
Also, or if you want to know why Adam was interested in tribbing this week, whatever that might be.
Edging.
That's there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I do to my yard. That's a whole different concept.
Adam edges on his yard? You heard it here first.
Huh. Interesting.
Adam's quite the voyeur. I mean, I pass by his house all the time. I'm like, Adam,
stop edging.
You gotta do that in your house, man.
I can't stop. My yard, it helps my yard look good.
It sure does. But maybe Adam will share all of his edging stories maybe in the coming weeks. But check out our friend Rick Wellbanks at shitricksays.com. You can find him at Shenanigans on iTunes as well.
I'd like to, but there's nothing.
Probably
new.
Be an episode, who knows.
It's been a few weeks now.
But this week, you guys, we are going to be following up on last week's great episode in which we shared 90 albums.
90 albums. Wow. And my favorite, and Rick at least posted his favorite line from the show was when I said, that sounds like an album a 17-year-old would like.
Do you remember what you that said, was what album you were talking to?
Devil Wears Prada with Branches Above and Ears to Hear You or whatever it was.
That's the one. But before that, we have some album announcements to get through. We got some pretty good ones. And then we have a follow-up on some news. Or do we? Yes, we do.
Edging?
Or do we? You're going to have to explain that edging if you keep talking about
it. I know. I had no idea.
First off, in the next coming weeks, we're going to be getting the fifth album from Sleeping with Sirens. Lots of Sleeping with Sirens talk on last week's episode.
Holy cow,
but fifth album is going to be called Gossip. That's going to be dropping on September 22nd. They've released their first single, Legends.
It was poor.
It's a song by Sleeping with Sirens.
I was not a fan.
Not old Sleeping with Sirens, new Sleeping with Sirens.
He still sounds like himself.
Oh.
Now, remember, our podcast kind of gained traction with a lot of Sleeping with Sirens news.
Yes, we did.
In 2013 with Feel. And, you know, we stopped following this band after that.
Yep.
And they're back.
They're back,
and
I'm sure
Brandon is excited, even though he's not a big fan of the last two Sleeping with Sirens albums.
Well, we haven't gotten
to the 10 yet.
Those last two Sleeping with Sirens yet, Adam.
Madness number 2?
Oh,
maybe.
Number 0?
Kick me when I'm down. But yeah, the album art looks a little pretentious, and the video was really pretentious.
The
and
album
the song
art looks like a rejected album art from Falling in Reverses.
Yep.
This
is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh.
So I wasn't a fan of the song, but maybe it'll grow on me. I'm usually not a fan at the beginning of the first time I hear a song.
We will find out on September 22nd, but I'm going to spoil it right now. Probably not, because another album coming out on September 22nd is Lustration, the highly anticipated 7th. 6th?
What? I'm sorry, the band?
Cirque Survive.
Schema was their what?
Well, that was the first
that
single.
That was their fifth album.
Violent Waves?
Sorry. No, Violent Waves was the album before Schema.
I'm sorry.
Census.
Consensus, yes.
Dissensus.
Descensus. They keep making weird words. Lustration is the latest of the weird words. That's coming out September 22nd.
This is number 6.
6, cool.
Number
Thank
6
you.
Album. So since it's coming out in September, that's telling me that the label has faith in the album.
Oh, they are now on Hopeless Records. This is their first album on Hopeless Records.
And they have faith in this album to actually be good.
Yes.
So I'm keeping my hope high.
Yeah, the album was finished back in like January, February. Crap.
I
follow Anthony Green on Instagram, hashtag Little Gods.
I stopped doing that because of hashtag Little Gods.
Hashtag Little Gods. Hashtag True Love. Hashtag Real Magic. Hashtag
Pixie Queen. Hashtag one of the worst albums of
2016. Oh, it had some good songs on it, but
a few. So I'm excited for this because it comes out in September.
Did you hear the first single?
Damn it, no, I didn't.
No? The first single's pretty dope, bro.
I was busy listening to Sleeping with Sirens and something else this week.
You made the right choice, Adam.
I guess so. But yes, I will listen to this. Oh, I was listening to Canadian Softball.
I am so sorry. The album is called The Amulet, and the first single is called Lustration.
Get the fucking shit right. People demand this accuracy.
You heard it here seventh.
That we got it wrong again. So anyway, well, Dissensus came out in November of 2015, I believe.
No faith in that
14.
Album.
14. So yeah, I think like the November through January albums are usually pretty poor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really holding out that September will be the month of Circa, coming off of that hot Seosin album from last year.
Yep, Anthony Green is off the drugs and on the Seosin now.
But is the rest of the band off the drugs?
They're probably taking all of Anthony Green's drugs.
Good.
But
wait, no.
If
bad.
You listen to the song Lustration, and I highly recommend that you do, the drum dynamics in that song, incredible. As a drummer yourself, I think you'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I was a drummer 6 years ago. I wouldn't call myself a drummer anymore.
Well, does that make me a drummer? Because your drums are in my garage.
Yes. Do you still want those? Or do I need to sell them on
Craigslist?
Do
you want them?
I don't think I'm ever going to use them again, because when are we going to be in a band?
I don't know. But you said you were going to teach your daughter how to play drums.
Did I ever say that?
You did say that.
Well, she's too busy being a princess right now.
Okay.
She's not interested in drums.
Well, if you want to sell them, give me a write-up of everything that it comes with, and I'll take some good pictures with some... Like, I'll just throw in a dick pic on there just to just to up the visibility of it on Craigslist.
Please do. and then with a picture of Erica making a confused face.
Huh? Erica emojis. but we got another follow-up here on the Chris Cornell murder conspiracy. Murder. Most foul. Ugh. That's right, I said murder.
So
what's going on here with Adam?
So apparently... There's some skeptics out there who are saying maybe 'twas not suicide, but 'twas murder.
Murder most foul.
Murder most foul because his wife wanted insurance money or something, and B, he was about to expose a underground child pornography sex pedophilia ring. I've never heard of that, but the follow-ups have all kind of concurred that the injuries that were found on him were pretty normal of somebody who tried to hang themselves.
Yes.
It's very sad.
Actual science has kind of disproven all of these theories.
Right.
But bloggers, who are the one true news source.
Infowars.
There was a YouTube video, brah. Cornell's last concert.
Brah.
Clearly shows, brah. Head wounds injury. To his head.
Brah.
That were never mentioned in the autopsy report, brah.
Well, shit. That means that he would have... killed himself first. He got hit in the head first and then died several hours later from a hit to the head to make it look like a suicide.
Bro, you don't understand, bro.
It pains me to read them still.
Yeah, I think it's just people like capitalizing on a famous person's death, which is a shame.
And
these things kind of happen all the time, like especially the last thing I remember on Amy Winehouse, because she died at 27, is that there's that 27-year-old conspiracy for people who die at 27.
Oh, yes.
It's not a 27-year-old conspiracy.
It started 27 years earlier. Okay, gotcha. So
we can finally close the book and put the last piece of sand on Chris Cornell's grave.
It's probably not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No. I'm sure there's people out there who think he's still alive.
Oh.
Like he faked his own death for the insurance money.
For the insurance money so that he can go become...
A Buddhist monk.
A Buddhist monk.
In Tibet.
And or live in a cabin in the woods with Dexter Season 8.
In Washington.
In Washington.
Because he's from Washington originally.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Seattle.
There's a lot of woods in Washington. Or you can just go slightly up north to Canada. There's lots of woods in there.
Yes.
Apparently there's more people in California than the entirety of Canada.
Just all I can say is take money for the laundromat.
They don't take your loonies.
Take change with you. Don't try to break your change at the laundromat because their change machine doesn't work anymore.
Canada has the worst laundromats.
And don't try to go across the street to the liquor store because everybody's already been going over there and getting all their change.
If they're
all out of change.
If you guys ever want to be talked out of a road trip through Canada, talk to Adam first. He will cleanly convince you not to go.
Well, and also the border agents, they have like the audacity to be like, why are you coming here? To every single car that crosses the border.
Why are you coming here?
God, what do you guys want? Just go away. You have a bag? Oh, I got to go through your fucking bag now. Is there a mace in there? Oh, we're going to have to take that. That's an illegal substance in Canada.
God.
And now you're going to have to sign a waiver saying that we took your mace. Anyway.
Canada's the worst. Your mace is just like sitting in Canada somewhere.
It's probably being used
as a tool at some bear fight club.
Probably.
A circle pit of like bears in an electrified fence where bears are just like hitting people with confiscated things at the border.
Probably.
In one corner, Boo Boo the Bear with Mace. In another corner, Baba the Bear with a giant dildo.
So you have been to Canada?
This past week, yes.
This happens every day.
I had my dildo confiscated.
This happens every day right across the border. There's bear fighting and people are betting on it and they're throwing loonies everywhere.
So many loonies. All right, man.
Rick is there for every single one.
Rick gets confused for a bear.
He's trying to get his bow and arrow ready, just in case. He's always on guard.
So that's why he's taking up archery. He's getting sick of people kidnapping him, thinking he's a bear, getting thrown into these cage matches.
It's sad.
It's a good thing he's good with a dildo.
with his fleshlight.
Don't get rid of that fleshlight, Rick. Man. I'll send you my address. I'm still waiting for my used fleshlight. Send that my way, please. All right,
don't have a gay pride parade in between the bear fight and where Rick is.
No, Rick will be very upset about that.
Very upset about that.
The snipers. let's finish off the community's official, unofficial top 100 list. This was sent in by our moderator, just Brandon. Brandon, our listener, our great listener, Brandon, who made for himself a top 100 list, kind of because we did ours and we shared it on the show and we had some great fun doing that. And
sure
if you missed it, we shared his top 100 to 11. And now we are going to be dedicating this week's episode from number 10 to number 1. And
now between you and me, there is only one Fall Out Boy album. But
in this top 10?
Between you and me, out of 200 albums,
okay,
one of those albums was from Fall Out Boy.
Correct.
Now, I'm pretty sure there was, 16 or 17 Fall Out Boy albums?
All of them.
On this list?
All of them, and then the unknown ones, and then the ones that Brandon created for himself.
Right. Just pieced together, little bootlegs.
Fall Out Boy mixtape, and that made number 27. You know. I kid.
Mixtape number 37.
Yes, but so far it's been a very interesting list, and we were familiar with most of those albums. There was a lot of surprises in there, and there's a lot of, albums that we don't necessarily agree with, but we get that perspective from somebody who is a fan, and we understand why, that album is so high on their favorites. So
Too Close to Touch. Have you found their album for me yet?
God damn it.
I'm just saying, with all this edging going on, do I want something too close to touch me?
They only have two albums, so I have one of them. I'll get you the first album. I need that too, because I haven't heard their first one.
You might be right about that, but you also might be way wrong, and they could have seven.
Oh, damn it.
Just remember, you said that about Tiger's Jaw. You're like, oh, they only have three albums, and they have five.
Oh.
So now we have to go back and start at number one and work all the way up.
You have a lot of free time, apparently, Adam. Which you spend jerking it.
Which I spend not jerking it, but thinking about.
Waiting to jerk it. You spend that time waiting to jerk it to the opportune time to jerk
it. That's what life is. Mm. You just sit in between jerk sessions. The other stuff you do is superfluous.
It's just in service of when's the next time you're going to jerk.
Exactly.
Nice.
I guess I should go have a job so that I have a place to jerk.
Yeah, so you have a place to jerk.
I can pay my rent.
Pay the bills so that you feel comfortable jerking. You're not constantly stressing about money. Because when you're stressing about money, you can't get it up.
I know. And you got to pay for your internet access.
Oh, absolutely. That. Yeah.
So that's kind of tough.
Mostly jerking. We can't use our imaginations anymore. We're spoilt.
Yep.
So many tangents. we're going to continue on this week's list. Would you like to get started with our number 10? We'll just trade off.
I'll do 10 through 6.
Okay. 10 through 6. So we have write-ups on each of these albums.
All right.
And we're going to be playing some music in the background for y'all.
Well, I knew that this album was going to end up somewhere on this list.
I'm sorry. This week's episode of The Skinny with Mike and Adam is brought to you by Mentos.
The Fresh Maker?
The Fresh Maker. I'm sorry. I made a YouTube playlist and we're getting commercials. Ooh. Sorry.
So I knew that Omarosa would end up on the top 10, but this would be Relativity.
The first
J. Craig one?
Yes, first full-length album, too.
So, in my opinion, Brandon's, this is the absolute best album Johnny Craig has ever performed on. I still love probably everything he's done since, but I truly feel like the musical style of Relativity mixed so well with Johnny's unique voice. Now, Mike and I talked a lot about this album when I reviewed it in 2014, and I was just like, well, I could tell the guys from Omarosa put together 12 instrumental tracks And then somebody at the record label said, hey, Johnny Craig needs a new band.
Yes.
And they said, here you go,
sing
Johnny
over
Craig.
These.
And he sang over them.
It
and
does,
did a,
yeah, it does.
It did a fair job.
It's a fair job for sure, I think, considering the circumstances. It does sound like a, like Adam said, like it does sound like a bit of two parties coming together to make songs.
Yes.
But, you know, there are some great stuff here. This is the opening track, The Past Should Stay Dead. This is some of the best work that Johnny Craig has ever done.
Gotta go with that. So probably some of the best work lyrically as well. As far as the sound of this album, I don't even know how to describe it. It's pretty, it's pretty one of a kind. Post-hardcore, but unlike anything else I've ever
Post-heard. Arena rock.
Post-journey.
Post-journey. Post-Anya.
Post-Yanni.
Post-Yanni, yeah. Nice.
What a weird reference to Anya. But no, Omarosa was a great band.
Yeah.
And is kind of still an okay band.
And they
band.
Still make good music and everything, despite, you know, some of our disappointments or things like that.
So for me, like, all of Gaslight Anthem's albums ended up in my top 100.
Correct.
For you, which band what was in, like, every single album was in your top 100?
Senses Fail.
That was for every single Senses Fail album, including
yes.
To Pull Your Thrones From Your Heart?
Yeah, Pull the Thrones From My Butt.
Yes, that was like number 100.5.
No, it was like 80-something.
Of course. So this is obviously, except for Fall Out Boy, I guess, is Brandon's favorite band of all time? Is that what he said?
There's another band on here, which we'll get to very soon, and which had a lot of albums from their discography.
But I am glad that I've listened to Relativity myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my favorite
Omarosa
album.
As somebody who is not a big fan of Omarosa, and I'm familiar with all of Omarosa's work, I get it. I understand how this music can speak to somebody, and the grandioseness of it can really like stay with somebody.
Is it a high school band?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think this band skews young either. This is a band that I think has like really cool dynamics in their musicianship, and of course, you know, Johnny Craig. He's a divisive character. Even I hear online too that he's a divisive like lyricist and singer. Some people don't like him at all.
The new lead singer, Omarosa.
He knows what he did. He knows.
All right. Are we ready to move on from Omarosa and then maybe talk about them later?
Number nine.
Greeley Estates. Go west, young man, comma. Let the evil go east. I know nothing of this band, but maybe Mike can give you more.
They have a new EP that is out right now.
I know Telly Smith was originally in this band.
Telly Smith was one of the original bassists.
Oh, okay. So, another one of my all-time favorites. Of course, it's your number nine. Also, unfortunately, all of their other albums are my number 101. This record changed the game for me. It was fast, angsty, heavy, energetic, everything I needed a record to be. There is no rhyme or reason to singer Ryan Zimmerman's vocal patterns on this record. Ryan Zimmerman. I'm pretty sure he plays third base for the Washington Nationals. But I'll take your word on that.
Uh-huh.
If he wanted to sing a line, he sang it. If he wanted to screech it, he screamed it at the top of his lungs. If he wanted to yell, he yelled. Lyrically, Blue Morning is one of my favorite songs of all time. Is that this track?
The song we're playing is... sorry, I'm a little cut off here. Blue Morning, that's the one I'm playing.
Oh, good. I was going to say, that would be
really
bad. Yeah,
this is the opening track off of Go West, Young Man.
Right.
And like it was mentioned in the write-up there, the vocals in Greeley Estate is, I think, this band's high point. This is where I think people are how people get attached to them. It's a very unique vocal style. It
sounds
very
a little
dirty.
Like Capsize-ish.
It's kind of.
They stole this style in a way.
A little bit, yeah. It's that kind of like growling kind of talk.
Mm-hmm.
But
kind of like how early Burt McCracken.
Burt McCracken, I was about to, yeah, very Used vibes.
Yes, I mean, this is a lot heavier than
even in today's in today's music scene. Capsize kind of takes this style, kind of makes it their own. But this band is very unique, and I think, you know, Go West, Young Man is some of their best work. They recently did an EP, or like dual EPs. I forget the name of it, but
Dueling
EPs. Yes, but I will get you their work as well and
someday
familiarize yourself with it.
I just have so much time.
So much time. Jerk sessions.
Number eight. These are getting longer.
Well, rightfully so. This is somebody's top 10.
Of course. All right. Hey, so my favorite film. Album
today's
from
today's number Evo. 8 record we brought to you by your car, even if you don't buy ours. It's an
acronym. We be Can you skip the ad?
There it is. Okay. Nope. The video will play after the ad. Thank you.
All right.
Andy Daly.
You're welcome. So my favorite album from this band, unfortunately the only album from this band that I like, No Hope.
The Color Morale.
TCM.
K-N-O-W.
Pretty fucking awesome album. And this was the first one where Mike was like, this album's really good, and I think this might be a band we would like. Unfortunately, we weren't so much a fan of the follow-ups.
Mm.
But when it comes to heavy music, I prefer hardcore punk over metalcore.
Mm-hmm.
Bands like Vanna, The Ghost Inside, Stick to Your Guns, various other bands of that nature. Though this is a metalcore slash hardcore punk hybrid beast of a record, it is, in my opinion, the best hardcore record of all time.
Garrett Rep, baby!
It's the best Color Morale album of all time.
I would concur with that. This is Color Morale at the height of their powers.
Yes. When they finally said, we need to make something that's more appealing to people. And they did a great job.
They did, yes.
Musically, this album has some of the most energy I've ever heard. And the three pillars of perfection for an album for me are energy, honesty, and emotion.
Ooh,
and also
that's
really,
good.
Really fucking good hooks.
Yeah, hooks
about that.
Are great too. But yeah, those are three great pillars. Yeah, I think I might steal that.
Vocally, Garrett Rep changed his screaming style to fit the raw passion of this record. And damn, did it work. The lyrics to this album hold very dear to me as well. Being as a Christian, I always loved TCM for being a Christian band. But when I heard the story behind this album, that Garrett was going through a period of changing spiritually and questioning his faith, i.e. getting vagina from being in a band, I appreciated that even more. Okay, maybe not. But still, that's usually what happens.
I guess so. I wouldn't know.
Close the door, please. All right. It's not easy to come from a Christian background and come out with any sort of doubts or disbelief. This album offers light and hope among some very dark themes. This is why it's in my top 10.
Nice.
So I like very to good. Jump to the conclusion that as soon as a band labels themselves Christian and then gets kind of popular, then they're like, oh, well, I'm not really that Christian.
Thanks for all and the fans,
I'm
though.
I'm having a crisis of faith. It's because... like tons of
under oath
women are throwing themselves at them and you want to put your penis in them because you're like 23 years old. What are you going to do? Be like, oh, sorry, ladies. My purity ring says I can't. So can we like get to know each other first? And
come
then maybe,
on,
maybe I'll marry you and only you. But the other 50 women who are trying to bang me right now, you know, I'll just put them on the back burner for a while.
You know, I growing up very strict Catholic in Catholic school and I was an altar boy. And before you ask, the answer is yes.
always yes.
You know, I surrounded myself, or I was around a lot of people who were like that, who got married very young so they could have sex.
And I'm sure they're still happily married like you.
Yes, that's why I got married.
You got married because you had a 2-year-old.
Yep.
Next. No, a great album. Still, like I think it's my number 12 album of 2012, somewhere right around there.
Yeah,
still fucking pretty awesome.
Good, yeah. I mean, this is the album that I would cite when I, you know, when people are, you know, that band Color Morale.
This is the album.
First, it's pronounced Morale.
Morale.
Adam, what's next?
Number 7. Mike and Brandon will get along on this one.
Oh, we already do.
Can you feel your
number
heart
7?
Beating?
Brought to you by Firestone. I hate YouTube so much. Go ahead.
Can you feel your heartbeat beating? No, it's not this song.
Not this one.
All right.
I recognize this song anywhere.
Anywhere in the entire world. Under Oath with their Only Chasing Safety.
Mm.
This is our first Under Oath
no.
album, right?
No. Not on this list. Very early on, we got Lost in the Sound of Separation.
Oh.
At number 97.
Forgot about that one. That's a big jump until the next Under Oath album shows up, right?
Deafen the Great Lynn.
Where was that one? Oh, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. So let's just talk about their Only Chasing Safety for a minute. I could gush and gush about how incredible this album is, but I'll sum it up to say it's a legendary album and a game changer.
Yes, it is.
It's Under Oath, comma, Man.
Yes, man. It is a game changer. This is an album. Is that it?
That's it for that album.
This is definitely an album that changed the underground music scene forever. So many... Aaron's so sad.
Why is he so sad?
He's so sad.
Get back to your drums.
He's cold. I know. He's in the mountains. He only has a hoodie on.
I know.
But this is an album that was very much emulated, very much copied when it came out in 2004. To varying degrees of success. There is only one Underoath. There is only one band that is capable of this sound, I think, that kind of perfected that kind of dirty rawness with combined with like the intricacies of good musicianship, great lyrics, great themes.
And I guess if you can make an album in 2004 and then in 2017, you can still be touring on just playing songs from that album and the other album.
Hey everyone, we're only going to play songs from these two albums.
I'm assuming that they played the song the two times that we saw them.
Yes.
Okay. It's sad that I don't remember.
You don't?
I don't remember these songs
being
played.
Well, you're not a big
fan of this album. I am a big fan of this album. It's in my top 110.
Yes. But if it's not in 100, it doesn't count.
I know, but I do like this album. So should we move forward?
Yes, let's do that.
Number six.
An album that neither of us are familiar with. But first, how about
this
ad?
We're familiar with this.
Oh, yes, we are. Actually,
yeah.
We are. Newly familiar with this.
Newly familiar with it, I think, because of Brandon.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe this is number six. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty
but
high.
This is My American Heart, Hiding Inside the Horrible Weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, My American Heart are one of my favorite bands for many reasons. They were such an underrated band and yet had what I believe to be some of the best music. If you like alt-rock / emo rock mixed with a little bit of screaming and angst, My American Heart is the band for you. And that it was. I don't think Mike and I talked about them very much when we were listening.
Several weeks ago, we were talking about all the recommendations we got because you know, we were going through our top 100. This was one of them, but I don't think we ever shared our thoughts on the show.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, this album is dope.
It's dope, and I can't remember what number I gave it because I haven't listened to it for like a couple months.
It's been a while, yeah.
But I should probably go back and renumber it. So this album saw a shy away from the screaming and heavy riffs for the most part, but brought in some of the catchiest melodies and most interesting lyrics of 2007.
Vests. Lead singer is wearing a vest.
Vests were all the rage in 2007 and 2008.
I can't play without my vest.
By the way, as I'm writing this, My American Heart is teasing a Hiding Inside the Horrible Weather 10-year anniversary tour for the fall, and I'm damn near crying with joy.
It's
ha
just...
Ha.
Brandon, I'm warning you right now. Just like with My Chemical Romance, it's just going to be an album of shitty B-sides. It always is.
No, they're going to do a tour.
Oh, good.
A Horrible Weather Inside My Brain tour.
Well, didn't we think that My Chemical Romance was going to get back together and tour on the Black Parade?
But this isn't My Chemical Romance.
Now is the chance, Adam.
They're going to do an acoustic version of this song.
Yeah.
They're going to or of the entire album. And tour for the next 2 years.
Yes.
And have no new music.
Oh.
Until it's done.
Oh, my. But back to this album.
And then
this
go on
Lead
Singer
pretty...
Syndrome to talk about it.
But this album is pretty bae. It is something that I really enjoy listening to. I got that recommendation. And, we have to get that number from you.
I have a feeling it was in the 7 out of 10 range.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't even remember how many songs are on this album.
So
but
I'm
I remember liking
it. I'm going to go ahead and take over here for number 5-1. And what better way to start than with my number three best album of my life.
My number 5.
Your number 5. Underoath with Defend the Great Line. Define the Great Line. 2006's masterpiece.
I was going to say, and in English?
And in English.
It's Define the Great Line.
Not many albums have much of a backstory for me as this one. Of course, I had heard the name Underoath before. Of course, I had heard songs off of their Only Chasing Safety in passing. I remember being 14 years old and seeing the video for Writing on the Walls on MTV, which they did get a lot of MTV play back in the day.
That's right. Probably MTV 2.
MTV 2, probably. And Fuse especially. Fuse loved playing on the road. I thought they were satanic and that
of
I
course.
Wasn't allowed to listen. I wouldn't be allowed to listen to them. I barely even gave it a chance because of it. Then I had several friends at school ask me if I had heard of Underoath. I usually said they weren't really my thing. One day during band class, a kid from my church showed me It's Dangerous Business Blocking at Your Front Doors, song we played, number 7. And then Writing on the Walls again, and I was hooked. Literally came home the same day to find out that my mom had bought me a Christian rock compilation album to surprise me, and lo and behold, Dangerous Business was on that CD.
Whoa. At the time, most bands that you thought were satanic were actually Christian.
Yes, because...
That was a big thing in the mid-aughts.
Because one of my favorite quotes from last week's episode was, this was the band I listened to prove that you could be Christian, but still be edgy. Or be edgy, but still love Jesus.
Still wear skinny pants and love Jesus.
It also had bands like Emery, The Classic Crime, and Amberlynn, and opened my eyes to the world of Christian music that didn't suck.
Ooh.
I could go on and on about Define the Great
Like
Line.
Evanescence and Thrice. Yeah, they were in 2003.
Yes.
It's kind of sad.
It's simply one of the greatest albums of our time. And Adam and I have to agree with that. It is like the prime example of what you can do with melodic hardcore music. It is some of the best songwriting I've ever heard.
Tis the best.
Musicianship I've ever heard. Best atmosphere you could put in a hardcore album. It's so good.
Okay.
They are never, ever going to top this.
Probably not, which is why they're never, ever going to write a new album, I guess.
They said we're not going to write an album unless we think we can top Define the Great Line.
Well, I've seen them twice now, and that's plenty for me.
Good luck, boys. You're going to need it because you're going to have to top yourself, and that's not going to be easy.
But we're waiting on that new Sleepwave album.
Oh,
someday.
I can't wait for that.
Someday.
Not going to happen. Number 4. This is an album that I have heard.
You at least checked the levels on this mic.
Is it too low?
My child was playing with the microphone before we came in.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
I checked before we started. Number 4. This is an album that is a follow-up to one of my favorite albums.
Which you are you?
It was in
even
the...
you who doesn't cover your moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Hey, guys, do you have psoriasis?
I do now.
You know, I should tell
what should
you...
I do?
I should talk to you about Stellara, Adam.
I just found my psoriasis this morning. It was in a really weird place I'd rather not talk about.
Was it your penis?
It was from all the edging I was doing outside in my lawn.
You should probably see a doctor about that. But
strong enough for him. pH balance.
One of my favorite albums, it was on my top 100, was What to Do When You're Dead by Armor for Sleep. This is the follow-up
That's
to that
right.
album called Smile for Them. This, too, had a concept to it. And if I remember correctly, the concept was, like, what if, because of technology and surveillance, what if you were being spied on all the time? What if
all the time.
Like, all of today's entertainment was just viewing other people, which is kind of the concept of the song, Smile, Williamsburg as well. So, right up here, this album beat out What to Do When You Are Dead because we'll have one song, Williamsburg, which is what we're listening to right now. For whatever reason, that song stuck out to me the most. Now I understand, it's because it's fucking great. One of my all-time favorite songs. I love how descriptive Ben Jorgensen's lyrics are. They really craft a picture for you and go along with the music. So, I do have to get you What to Do When You're Dead because I really think that you...
I should probably listen to this band in its entirety.
3 albums. I wasn't so much a fan of Smile for Them. I thought the concept... Just like how Underoath is never going to top Define the Great Line.
Right.
I thought it was kind of bold of them to try... for Armor for Sleep to try to top the cool concept record that was What to Do When You're Dead. In my opinion, I'd say they were less successful. I thought What to Do When You're Dead is a much... far superior album, but I think these songs are catchier at least. But for me, I like the concept of being dead and finding the one you love. And
it's good to find it after you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't need to find it while you're alive because that would take effort.
Yeah, exactly.
And you might get hurt. But anyway.
I'll be sure to give this album another spin sometime soon, probably around the time that you listen to it as well. But remind me when we stop. I need to make a whole list of what
to
give you.
There's too many.
Yeah. I'll log into my Google Play account on my phone, and then, and then we'll go through it together. I'll make a list.
Do it.
All right, number 3. We just got done talking about this band.
That was very haircut band. looking.
Very haircut band looking.
Visually.
But Adam,
let's keep talking about them until this.
Let me talk to you about
YouTube
Red, Adam.
My favorite YouTube of all time.
We got another My American Heart album. This time it's The Meaning in Makeup. I believe this is their first album.
I don't think I've heard this one.
I don't think I've heard it either.
But it's his number three album of all time?
Three album of all time.
Yes. Why didn't he recommend this one to us?
My favorite of the only two My American Heart albums, simply because I heard it first. It's sentimental. Dope as fuck, to be honest. Songs like Poison, The Process, which is what we're listening to now, and Today is a number 17, are bound to get stuck in your head. As much as I want to pick my favorite line from this album, there are too many for me to choose. Yeah, I don't think I've heard this one. I don't believe it was recommended to us, but now it's number three of all time. The community demands it.
I thought I had read this band is no longer together.
I don't believe they are.
But maybe
which is why they're only going to release an album of shitty B-sides for their 10-year anniversary.
Probably. You guys want to hear a stripped-down acoustic version of this song?
You want to hear what the Black Parade sounded like before it was Welcome to the Black Parade?
Something about a guy in Cleveland.
Yep. Oh, man, that version is so bad.
I know.
Thank goodness for producers. But for now, we're going ahead and we got kind of long write-ups for number two and number one.
Numero uno.
Do you have any guesses what the two bands for number two and number one are?
Oh, man. Let's see. Omarosa's second Johnny Craig album.
Okay.
And then Omarosa...
Which we talked about already.
131.
Which we talked about both of those albums already.
We did?
Yeah.
The second?
Both 131 and the self-titled.
Oh, okay. All right. So then they're not on there. So it has to be... who else could it be except for Hold On, Pain Ends and... and there's no, there haven't been any Anne Berlin albums yet, have there?
There have not been any Anne Berlin albums yet.
Never take friendship personal.
Nope, it's not. But okay. I highly agree with this number two, and I understand.
But the real question is, does Adam agree?
Adam will not agree.
Oh, okay.
All that edging has gone to his mind, and he's not thinking straight.
I need a new edger.
Can I be your new edger? I'm pretty good at it. I've been doing it for like 20 years now.
I think you're the only one my wife trusts to edge my lawn. She won't let me edge with anybody else. I asked her. Uh-huh. I was like, can I edge with other people? And she was like, no. But I'm pretty sure she'll let you do it, though.
It's because I'm a better wife than her. I'm a better husband than you.
And a better edger.
And I'm a better parent than both of you. Well, I'm a better daughter than your daughter. I'm going to replace your whole family one day.
I know.
Number two, the community's, Brandon's, best albums of all time is, after this brief ad, by CaymanJack.com.
CaymanJack.
Oh, I don't know what CaymanJack is. I'm so sorry for all these.
Let's just let it play, and then we'll be surprised.
Okay, step two. Oh, it's Margarita.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to drink. I know this song.
Think
Thrice.
Enthusiasm.
Artist in the Ambulance.
The Artist in the Ambulance, number two.
I mean, it was in my top 30, I think it was. I can't remember exactly.
It was pretty high in mine. I want to say top 30 or 20.
But of course, all of the charisma.
So much charisma, so much enthusiasm.
Only one man can provide that much charisma.
Here we are, my top two favorite albums in all of music history. And remember, we went through decades of music to get to
over
this point.
One decade of music.
And there was some 90s in there.
It's one album from the 90s.
There are so many reasons why I love this album. It's got the perfect balance of poppy, punky melodies and heavy-hitting thrash riffs. Dustin Kensrue is the most beautiful lyricist of our time. This album literally saved my life. We joke about that all the time, but sometimes albums really do help people.
Good job, Dustin.
When I
this was the first Thrice video I ever saw.
Oh yeah,
was Staring at the Sun
on like MTV
on Fuse.
Mm-hmm. I saw
in
this
2000, probably 4.
I saw this on MTV2.
Interesting.
Let's see. When I felt down and out, like I was worthless and nobody would ever need me. When I felt like I would only ever let people down and I didn't deserve to live. The title track showed me that life is full of second chances and that our mistakes don't have to make us. Stare at the Sun, which we're listening to right now, is literally my theme song for my life. The Abolition of Man is the coolest damn song I ever heard. Heavy AF.
Which track is that?
Dun, 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 dun. I think it's like 9 or 8 or something.
I love it, whatever it is.
Yeah, perfect. It's all good. It's the coolest damn song I've ever heard. Silhouette, again, that's the song that's right before this.
Right.
Makes me want to bang my head and scream at the top of my lungs. This album is absolute perfection to me. I can definitely tell you my favorite line from this album. Do I trust my heart or just my mind? Why is truth so hard to find in this world? It's flawless. I did that flawlessly.
You should get that one. You should probably get that one tattooed on you.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe not the A Day to Remember one.
Friendship. Friendship! Also, every Thrice album not on my top 100 is, of course, my number 101.
Can't argue with that.
This is, the sentimental value to Brandon, I mean, this is an album that like I absolutely adore. I believe it's a perfect album as well. It perfectly does blend pop melodies with hardcore, with arena rock sometimes, with some punk stuff. It's a great album.
If it wasn't for this album, because I had not gone to any shows between 2008 and 2012 until I heard this album, and I was like, you know, I think I would really like to see Thrice live.
Yes.
And then
let's see them open for Rise Against.
I'd already done that once.
Oh.
Before I had, when I said I'm not going to any more shows.
Oh, okay.
And then I wanted to go see Thrice alone.
Oh.
With Oh Brother.
Oh.
And Animals for Leaders. And it was great. But I
that
said...
was, that I, was during and, their farewell tour, and they never played another show ever again. Adam
luckily,
never went to another Thrice show
luckily
ever again.
They retired, but when I went to that show in 2012, not only did it spur this podcast...
Yes.
But it also spurred me going to many more shows afterwards. Now, I can't honestly say I hated all of them, but I hated a lot of them.
Oh, no.
In hindsight, and I'm not going to shows anymore.
Oh.
Over the course of 4 more years.
I'm going to Warped Tour, by the way.
By yourself.
Without my boyfriend.
By yourself and 2 hot chicks.
Yes. But without my boyfriend. So does that make it worth it?
Hey, you
the
tell me.
The answer is yes.
You tell me how 100th sounds and the rest.
And the rest.
Who else are you looking forward to seeing?
We got recommended to go see The White Noise.
Oh, yeah. We need to hear
apparently
their new album.
Really, yeah, AMPM.
That was another new single that I listened to this week.
Oh?
It was pretty terrible.
Oh.
It was about California. And
going
I was,
back to San Diego.
It was about that good.
Really?
Well, I like that song. So, no, it wasn't that good.
We're going. Warped Tour is going to be at Qualcomm Stadium.
Yeah.
Going back to Qualcomm Stadium.
Before they tear it down because it's a piece of shit and it needs to burn.
It's going
to
be a mini mall.
Everyone that's played there has lost and lost and lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. And it has bad memories for the Cubs.
Uh-huh. But great choice as a number 2. I highly recommend everyone go check this out. I mean, rock fan or not, I think it's just a brilliantly made album. And I think it'll and I think for you open-minded people, it'll open up a whole new world of hardcore and punk music. A new exciting point of view.
No one to tell us no.
Or where to go.
Or that we're only dreaming.
References. Do you know who they announced at D23 this past week, which is a Disney convention, who's going to be the genie in the new live-action Aladdin?
Every moment, red letter.
Yes. Do you want to take a guess at who is going to be playing the genie?
DMX.
Arr. Yes, DMX. You're close. It is a singer.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Want a hint?
No. Who's the fat guy? CeeLo Green?
Not CeeLo Green. He'd make a good live action. he looks like a genie.
It's a singer who's...
You want a hint?
Black?
Woo! Ha-ha!
Ruben Studdard?
What?
I have no idea who that is that you just made reference to.
Woo! Wild Wild West.
Oh, Will Smith. Will Wiggy Smith. Getting
Big
jiggy
Wiggly style.
Or his son, Jaden.
I would want Jaden to be the genie. How can we wish when nothing comes true?
Well, I think it's time for Will Smith to make a comeback.
I think it's time for Will Smith to finally become famous.
He tried once.
I think he needs some money.
Don't you remember that we're in the middle of Willennium?
I bought that album, dude. I have. I'm sure there's a box somewhere at my parents.
That song of like the, from 1999 when he saw I remember the ball dropping in 90. Ha ha. 10 years behind me. It's the millennium. No, willennium.
I remember that song too.
That song will pop into
my entirety
over and over again. Did you say like, oh man, I can't believe he like did a play on words.
He did.
He flipped the M.
Tons.
He flipped the M upside down.
You just gotta flip the M, and it's a willennium.
Man, this is gonna be the greatest. This is gonna be the greatest willennium ever.
17 years and counting, baby.
We're still going strong.
This willennium is never ending.
Of Aladdin. Is it gonna be a like? Live action?
Yes, live Aladdin? Action. Mm-hmm. That's what Disney's doing now.
Isn't it great that you don't need ideas anymore?
No, you just got to take movies you've already made and make them again.
Right.
Make poorer versions of them.
Like with Ewan McGregor and his French accent.
Oh.
But when you think about it, Lumiere's accent is pretty ridiculous anyway.
It is, but when you do a...
When it's a Scottish man doing a French accent...
But the original voice actor for Lumiere, he owned that shit, so it sounds good.
I guess so.
Ewan McGregor.
Did we have anything to compare it to? No.
Ewan McGregor.
Were you 12 years old at the time? No, you were 6.
I was 6.
I was 12.
You were 12.
I was like, this is bullshit. Turn this off, stepsister.
Academy Award-winning, award-nominated movie. Adam.
Nominated.
Yes. It's good to be nominated.
What else? What won Best Animated Feature that year?
No, that was actually the first animated feature to get nominated for Best Picture.
Oh.
God suck it.
This is an episode for Brandon. Yes. I hope he enjoys our side references.
Number one of the communities.
And I know what
official.
It is.
Official. You do?
Of course. What else could it be besides my number 76 album of all time?
Oh.
And your number, I don't know, 4, 8.
Something? Oh, so you actually read it?
No, I just know.
What is it?
We haven't mentioned Sandpit Turtle.
Sandpit Turtle.
Or Ollie Sykes.
No, he already mentioned in when we talked about That's the Spurt.
Yeah, That's the Spirit was mentioned way back in the bottom 100.
Yes. But I'd like to take this time to give Sandpit Turtle an honorable mention. Because it unfortunately did not make my top 100.
Oh, it's his number 101.
Yes.
Well, shit. Then I can only guess that this album would have to be... Is there anything older from Fall Out Boy that he hasn't mentioned yet?
Well, how many mixtapes do we have to make, Brandon? It is a band that we've talked about already.
It can't be Folie à Deux.
No.
And it's definitely not my favorite album. The last one.
It's an American Beauty.
Yes. It's probably not Save Rock and Roll.
Nope.
Because that album was terrible. No, even sure. By his standards, I would think he would think that was terrible.
I think by most people's standards.
But I got to go with Nirvana, Nevermind?
Very close, Adam.
Maybe
very close.
Maybe Joshua Tree by U2.
Ooh, getting closer, getting
maybe
warmer.
Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, you're almost there, baby. You're almost there, but let's take a look at this ad for Valerian coming July 21st. I know I'll be there. Adam, are you going to buy front row tickets to see Valerian?
All I do is go see Valerian every day of my life.
Valerian, rated PG-13. Rated PG-13, I hope you know that.
I know the song.
Of course you know this song. This is the community's number one album.
Number one album of all time.
Brought to you by Brandon.
Vic Fuentes?
That is not Vic Fuentes.
Oh,
you know
God.
This.
I can't place it in my head.
Well, we just got done talking about this album, or this band, last year.
Seosin.
Seosin.
God damn it.
With their first album, Seosin.
Yes. Anthony Green.
Post Anthony Green. This is their first full-length album with one Cove Reber. They went on to make two albums with this young gentleman. I was very surprised to see that second album on this top 100 list.
Me
but,
too, but
know,
that's okay.
That's okay. This is the community's list.
He was apparently riding high after this album came out. So
yeah, and now that
I
know that...
have an after effect.
Yes, this is number one best album of all time. Of course, you're going to have some sentimental value for the second one. But here we go. The main reason this is my favorite album of all time is the musicianship. The drum parts are so technical, and the guitar riffs are so heavy at times, yet this is far from a metal album. you'll learn I do not like metal. Like, hardly at all. This is post...
It was only a few metal bands in my top 100 albums.
Well, I mean, like, there's two Devil Wears Prada's, and I can't think of any others.
That Greeley Estates song sounded pretty metal
pretty
to
metal.
Me.
That's pretty metalcore, yeah.
The Color Morale is pretty metal.
But, yeah, that's true. Yeah, the early ones, for sure.
Yeah. But anyway,
this is post-hardcore at the peak of its perfection. I could listen to instrumental versions of all of these songs just to hear those lead guitar riffs over and over again.
So this is what post-hardcore is supposed to be? Because when I think of post-hardcore, I'm always thinking His Last Walk.
Yeah.
But that was probably my first hardcore
post-album.
For me,
post-hardcore means hardcore with like pop elements and melodic elements.
So like Thursday.
Thursday. Even Seosin.
See, this kind of has that old Thursday vibe, even though it's like 6 years later, or
yes,
8 years later.
It
really
does, but this has more of like an arena rock kind of feel to me. You know?
I guess so.
Let's see, where are we? Honestly, this could have been an instrumental album and still probably would have been my favorite record. On top of the magnificently perfect musicianship, you have the voice of Cove Reber.
The myth, the legend. The myth of his ongoing career.
He's so many bands. Oh, he owns a recording studio now.
I thought you were gonna say he owns a donut shop in La Puente. Good for him. Good for him.
That's so mean.
I hope they have an ATM that charges you only $2.50 to take money out of it. Oh, anyway,
maybe not the best singer, but definitely one of them. Definitely my favorite lyricist ever. I believe Cove's voice is the only one that could ever fit over those instrumental tracks, from his beautiful soft melodies to his emotionally driven high notes and near screaming rough vocals. Yeah, Cove does not scream.
That's true.
Unlike
he goes high pitched.
Unlike that hack fraud,
Anthony Green. The worst singer.
Worst singer ever. Let's see, from his beautiful soft melodies and his emotional... Okay, this is one of the most well-performed albums of all time. We cannot forget about the lyrics. The album's themes stretch over a wide range of topics, all circling back to personal struggle and triumph. Voices, one of the album's most beautifully crafted songs, lyrically is a heart-wrenching look into pain and pride and love. I miss the part when we were moving forward now. My favorite song probably being It's Far Better to Learn, which I believe is the first or the last track. Can't remember. I think it's the first.
Either way, they're both great.
I know it's the first track, the greatest opener of any album in my opinion.
Ooh.
And one of the strongest theme setters. Gosh, I love the chorus. What is my body worth? See, flawless.
That's right.
Cove is right here in the room.
Exactly.
And my favorite bridge of any song ever written. Why believe in nothing? Why believe in nothing at all? This album changed my life, saved my life, and continues to give me some sort of emotional experience every single time I listen to it. Greatest dot album dot ever dot. And that's it.
Woo.
The community flew out from across the world. Got together in New Mexico, of all places.
I know. Old Mexico.
Old Mexico, of course, of all places. And created 100 lists. Thanks to us. We did this, Adam.
So by his entire list, I counted number of lives saved, 2.
2.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's better than our albums were.
Our albums saved no lives.
0.
Especially mine. But wow, yeah, that was quite an emotional read, and that was really fun to go through all of these. And we have one sentence right over here. So thanks for suffering through my long-winded discussion of my top 100 albums of all time. Thanks for inspiring me to make this list and reinvigorating my love for these bands, albums, songs, and music in general.
Of course.
Yo boy, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you so much, man.
I feel terrible because like one of... the two songs on that album I don't like is Voices.
Sure.
I just feel like it's too...
It comes out of nowhere.
It's too, like, just a single.
Yeah, it's very much like, hey, write us a hit. This is Capitol Records.
That's right, it is Capitol Records.
The
major label scum.
You hack fraud, Brandon. You had to go for a major label album. But in all seriousness, thank you for taking the time to do this and for sharing it with us, and I definitely get a sense of like knowing you more by reading off these albums and hearing your discussions of them and hearing why you love them. And, you know, and it's great that we don't agree on some of them, because I get that perspective and I love that.
We can't agree on everything.
Yes,
even,
we can, Adam.
Even the people you share a podcast with.
We have to agree. This podcast is falling apart.
Number 76.
Number four.
You know, things are going to be different.
I'm going to kill you in your sleep one day. But I also want to give another shout out. I shout out this band last week. Go check out the band Grace the Ocean. Our moderator, no beating around the bush, Brandon, who made this list for us. He is the drummer of that band. And I want you guys to go check out their single Dark Places. You can buy that on the iTunes store or wherever music is sold. You can also check out the single on YouTube. It's pretty good. The musicianship is legit great, and it's a post-hardcore band. Our favorite, the only music that matters. Rick,
we all have our different views of what post-hardcore should mean.
Post-hardcore is everything. Lord, post-hardcore.
Totally.
Yeah. Adele, post-hardcore for sure.
She's just the worst post-hardcore singer I've ever heard.
Oh, I know. There's no screaming at all. Come on.
So I feel like we need to challenge Rick at this point, because we know he is a crazy into music guy. He's probably listened to tons of sludge metal stuff that we've never heard of.
Stoner rock, yes.
But I feel like that dude needs a top 100 list.
Yeah, that'd be a very interesting read.
Even though, we probably never heard of any bands on it, but he might throw in like some obscure Guns N' Roses band or something.
Seosin with Seosin.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's my number 98.
He probably heard Let It Unfold You by Senses Fail.
Oh, he's for sure, like his for sure in his top five is, Pull the Thorns From My Butt.
But I feel like anybody who tells themselves that they are like a hardcore music fan, you need a top 100 list.
I think everyone who, yeah, like you said, is a who can consider themselves a hardcore fan should sit down and take the time to make a top 100 list. I think you learn a lot about yourself by doing
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Now, if you want to break down year by year like Mike and I do, that's a whole other level of crazy.
That's because we're crazy people.
Exactly. I'm still sitting on my 2011 list, and I can't bring myself to go back and listen to those albums to try to rank them.
Illuminatio.
The Illuminatio, that's 2010.
Oh.
But.
No Devolution.
LC.
LC. Well, we know what your number one is.
But then, like, when you get past the four or five really, really good albums, there's a lot of just like, oh, God, I don't want to listen to that album, even to, like, rank it.
Yeah, sure.
So I can't bring myself to put that list together. Because Mike and I already disagree.
We also
so much.
Got a message from Brandon this past week that he's also. Probably going to go back and make his top 100 101 albums.
That's a tough one.
It's something that we joked about doing. And
I know.
It's like, why not?
I mean, I have.
You probably have them like ranked already.
Well, they're not ranked already. My number 101 through number 186 are just kind of thrown together. I didn't list them.
Well, they're not like they're not in numerical order?
They happen to have a number next to them, but I didn't like take the time to put them in an actual
okay.
order.
Are there a lot of ties?
I would
sure,
assume
probably.
So.
Okay.
A lot of those are all my like, you know, 11 out of 13s and 10 out of 12s.
Yeah, but we don't have like, but I'm sure you don't have like the emotional connection that you do for your top 100. So it's like, sure, I'll make that.
But then how do you say that No Closer to Heaven you don't have an emotional connection to?
I do have an emotional connection.
There's a lot of emotional connections.
It was in my top somewhere.
Somewhere.
I love that album.
We always will.
Spoony.
It's a 10 out of 12. Spoony. Soupy.
Soupy. You eat Soupy with the Spoonie. Spoonie. So, Adam, do you have anything that you've been listening to this past week?
I have been listening to our three recommended albums.
Ooh.
From DSD.
Nice.
If we need to shift gears to our other fan.
Yes.
We only have two.
We have other fans, too. Yes.
We only have two total who interact with the show.
103 million.
5 years later. We didn't even celebrate our five-year anniversary.
Oh, that's
but
right.
That's
happy
okay.
anniversary, Adam.
It's sad to say that.
I'm getting that. Why? You not having a good time anymore?
No, I'm just saying we didn't even acknowledge it.
Oh,
it came
true.
And went. 5 years is kind of a milestone.
That is, it is.
And I can't believe our anniversary passed and you didn't even acknowledge it.
Well, because I'm not a fan of the show, Adam. You
exactly.
Know
but we had some Tiger's Jaw.
Oh, yes. We got some recommendations from our fan, from our listener, Daniel. And this is our thoughts on that. So Tiger's Jaw.
Tiger Jaw is, I guess.
Their newest album, Spin.
They're also post-hardcore.
Yes, they're all post. These are all post-hardcore bands, by the way. No, this is like
no,
an indie.
They're indie folk-ish. Not folk-ish. they're pretty up tempo for having songs with female background vocalists.
Yeah, once in a while they have like the keyboardist who is a woman, like she'll do like lead vocals on some of the songs.
Very hooky, very good, very power pop. Oh, maybe I don't know.
Power pop, that's a good place. Yeah. Reason why we got these recommendations was because we did that episode on our mid-year review, and we talked about all the albums that we're like really disappointed on.
Yes.
So we got three albums from Daniel. He's like, "Oh, I'm really enjoying these."
Yes.
Perhaps you guys will.
And I really enjoyed Tiger's Jaw.
Oh man, this album Spin is the best thing I listened to all week.
I feel like I need to listen to their now four previous albums to get like it's really hard to jump into the best album from a band.
Sure.
Like, you want to build yourself up and, you know, edge a little,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And then have a release.
So much edgy.
But no, there's like what's track four on there?
I don't remember the track, but like
Escape Plan.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the best songs.
It all on the line, would you be my escape plan?
Oh, so good, man.
Yes. So I guess I would go with the power pop element with this band. So thank you, Daniel, for that recommendation.
Yes.
And
we also got a
recommendation. The Smith Street Band.
Very unique band.
Australia's own.
Australia. They're pub punk.
Pub punk.
They're like a punk band who plays in a who sound like they play at a bar.
It's got that Flogging Molly vibe.
Yes.
And very kind of working class.
Minus the ska.
Minus the ska element. But good stuff.
Oh yeah. It's catchy. And like the lyrical style, how it's just kind of like talking really fast to the melody of the verse and like the chorus comes in.
I feel like it's
down
got
here
that
at the flight bar. Like it's so good.
I think it feels very Social Distortion-y.
Kind of.
But with like an Australian accent.
Yeah.
And I guess a little bit more talking-ish, but
The Australian accent is very apparent, but like it adds to the charm, and it's very endearing. I think this album is very endearing.
11 out of 12.
Whoa.
Fucking great album.
That is awesome.
So again, I feel like I need to listen to their four previous albums so I can edge myself a little bit.
I guess we're going to have to do more edging, Adam. And we also got a recommendation for the singer from Pedro the Lion. Goes
with
by the
his
name David Bazan.
With his fourth solo album.
Oh my.
So Daniel recommended Pedro the Lion. His number two album of all time was their first album. And I
believe so.
Can't remember the freaking name of it off the top of my head now.
I can get it right here. Just a minute. Pedro, you're the lion. It's hard to find a friend.
Right. I knew it was a sentence. I was like, more than you think you are? No, that's Matchbox 20. I feel the same way about the solo album as I did about the Pedro the Lion album.
Okay.
Is that I didn't care for it very much.
Okay.
Yeah, it's extremely minimalistic.
His style is very, like, I guess you have to, like, kind of appreciate that kind of very softer kind of style, I guess.
With a dude that doesn't have the greatest voice in the world? But obviously
does Jeff Rickley from Thursday.
But obviously has more fans than I could ever imagine having in my entire life. So he must be doing something right.
Yes.
It's just that I'm not getting it.
Okay.
But I don't know what you felt about David Bazin's album.
I thought it was...
It's called Care.
Care, that's right. Came out in March of this year. And this was, of these three recommendations, this was probably my least favorite. But I wouldn't say it was a bad album at all. But it is kind of, I don't know what the term is. I didn't see myself like wanting to return to it. But like when I did listen to it, I was like, oh, there's some good stuff in here, and like I appreciated it for its style. But I don't like you. I don't know if the style is for me.
It's just a little on I call it bloring.
Bloring.
A combination of bland and boring.
Okay.
But there was three songs on there that I enjoyed.
Okay.
Out of 10.
Three out of 10.
And I like... he sounds a lot like John Frusciante's first solo album, which came out in 2001, called To Record Water for 10 Days. Like, this album sounds exactly like that album.
Okay.
Except that John Frusciante's album was really, really good.
Oh, okay.
And threw in a whole bunch of like instrumental tracks of him playing guitar. So like that's what this sounds like, is this like electronic, stripped down, very bizarre sounding, but if you listen to the lyrics, very gut-wrenching, emotional breakup kind of stuff.
And this is kind of like, this style is kind of what I always go to in my head when I hear, hey, you know that band you really like? well, this guy's making a solo record. And it's like, okay, it's going to be a stripped down thing. I did all the instruments myself. This, yes. It's going to be about me expressing myself, yo.
John Frusciante did a great job, and I recommend everybody listen to that one.
Yeah.
That's one of my number 101s albums. But, yeah, I can't get David Bazin, whatever his name might be. I just don't get him. So good on you, Daniel.
Well, thank you for sharing that, at least. Yes, and it's good that we checked it out to kind of, you know, step outside our comfort zone. Because David Bazin is like the top post-hardcore artist of all time.
I've always felt that way.
Yeah, you know, like we only listen to post-hardcore anyway.
I know.
But I listen to some other stuff as well, and ooh. I think we're going to have to go down that all-time low rabbit hole.
Okay.
Because I think it's going to start off rough.
Five or six albums now?
Something like that. Because they started when the lead singer or when the band was like 16. And now they're like a mature.
Hey, girl, I got to go to math class. A 2 + 2 equals us. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was a.
Was that
Together?
In Together now.
Yeah, no, that's no. That MTV parody band, Together.
Right. I know.
Yeah. I checked out the recommendation from Brandon.
Equals us.
I love that song so much. The hardest part about breaking up
is getting back your stuff. I didn't know I was dating a kleptomaniac. Oh, man.
That was a Lonely Island before the Lonely Island was a thing. I checked out their newest album from this year. It came out back in June. Last Young Renegade by All Time Low. Now, we listened to some All Time Low last week when we were doing the top 100 community list. This sounds nothing like this. This band must have taken a huge left turn sometime in their career, and we need to find out when that happened.
Is it the Fall Out Boy effect?
It's the Fall Out Boy effect, but much better. This is like really... I don't want to use the term arena rock again, but it's like alternative... But more like contemporary.
Post-hardcore.
Post-hardcore, of course. Everyone knows that. With a little bit of metalcore. Contemporary metalcore in there. But I really, really, really enjoyed Last Young Renegade. And as somebody who, you know, admittedly I listened to those all-time low songs on the playlist. And I was like, not my thing. Mm-hmm. It's a haircut band. Maybe they were a haircut band back then. But like, they made a conscious effort to change their sound and make it, you know... Not about girl, I know you, girl. but there's a lot of good stuff in this.
And all the albums are about 32 minutes.
They're pretty short, so we'll have to go down that rabbit hole together. And make it to Last Young Renegade because I think you'll really enjoy it
by the end of the year. So I better get started now.
Let's do this.
I only have a lot of weeks to go.
So I think that'll do it for this week's show. Next week, shall we do a track by track review of Dead Reflection by Shel Silverstein?
I'm excited for this one because I've listened to the album 5 times.
I've listened to it 3 times.
I'm having feelings.
I have a lot to say.
I'm having positive feelings thus far.
I have a lot to say about this spin-off album from my favorite interview show, The Lead Singer Syndrome.
That is the hard part because we've gotten to know Shane Told as a person.
He's kind of a douchebag.
In the last year and a half, and we're just like, fuck him.
Yeah, he's kind of a douchebag.
Still... Music.
Wow.
Music can stand on its own sometimes.
Oh, man. This is going to be a Silverstein album for the ages, I think.
Maybe.
But we'll see. We'll get our final thoughts together.
I'm sure you felt that way about 3 listens into Rescue.
Oh, yes. That was my favorite one. No, it wasn't.
And Arrivals and Departures.
Oh, that's so good. Even Silverstein hates it.
The departure is the arrival of Shane Told.
Ugh. Anyway, we'll do a big track by track review for you guys next week's show. But for now, is there any last thoughts? I forgot.
Haven't edged my lawn in a while.
Is it time to?
I should probably go.
All right,
it's getting a little overgrown.
My knuckles. I'll give you some up there. All right.
Okay. But I'll get my cup.
But as a reminder, guys, if you have any questions, comments, or anything you'd like us to read on our episode 250, email us at theskinnywithmikeandadam@gmail.com or over on facebook.com/skinnywithmikeandadam. Go check out our friend Rick Wellbanks and his show, Shit Rick Says, or Shenanigans on iTunes. And as we say every week on The Skinny with Mike and Adam, did you have a good one this week?
Let's see. If you're watching TV and an egret is there,
egret,
don't be surprised when the 4-year-old knows it's an egret.
Ooh, you're a smart 4-year-old.
Maybe.
Geniuses.
Maybe I do.